The Mesilas Yesharim, he has a line that he quotes from Chazal, where he says something a little bit surprising on the one hand, exciting on the other hand, and a little bit hard to understand as well. The Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Halavai. How do you translate Halavai? Not to begin with halava. Halavai. Were it only. I would like it as if only. Osi azavu. What's la'azov? To abandon, to leave. Osi azavu. When people would abandon me, v'seira si, my shamaru. They would guard. Why? Why does the Kaddish Baruch Hu say, Halavai, if those people, Chas V'Shalom, would abandon a Kaddish Baruch Hu, if only, say, Resi Shamaru, they would keep my Torah, they would continue, well, you could have learned that meant keep mitzvahs. The problem is, the next part of the Chazal shows you that that's not what it means. Because it says, Shehamor Sheba, what's Me'or? It's funny, it doesn't say Or, the Me'or. Somehow the light somehow there's something that shines from the Torah. Hamaor Sheba, the shining of it, of her, of the Torah. So not, it doesn't mean mitzvahs. It means the light that comes from the Torah. Machziran lamutav, will return them to mutav, to good. Means to say that the Torah has a light that we may not see, we may not appreciate. Because imagine a person that's abandoned the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he's still learning Torah. He's still hanging on. That person that obviously is not interested in learning Torah and is not learning Torah for its light, the light still has the power to bring him back. When we sit down and we open up a Gemara, we sit up and open up a Chumash, it doesn't make a difference. If we really understand, we don't really understand, we're really motivated, we're not really motivated. But in the back of our minds, you should just have that confidence that there's a ma'or in it that's shining on you. A ma'or shava machzir and lemutav. There's a light in the Torah that we don't always appreciate, we're always sensitive to, but it's there. And it's invigorating your neshama, whether you feel it, whether you know it or not. We're starting a new parak. It's called Lulav HaGazel, and it's a fascinating parak. It sounds like it should be boring, because, well, the lulav is dry, it's no good, it is stolen, it's no good, it's just a bunch of rules. But when you start asking questions, as always with Torah, it opens up all kinds of vistas of understanding. So we'll do what we can, because we are trying to cover an omud a day. But at least we got to touch on some of the fascinating topics that come up. So the Mishnah says like this, lulav hagazel vayavesh pasul. Who wants to translate? What's a lulav? Alula, okay, great. So it's some kind of palm thingamajiggy. Does everyone know how they grow? Have you seen a palm tree?
They grow, that's how it actually forms into the palm tree.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? That when you look at a palm tree, the trunk, what does it look like?
It's a big trunk.
I don't know what it looks like. It looks like a rhinoceros horn. It looks like a bunch of rhinoceros horns, right?
There's a sword sticking out at the top. That's the lula.
But you usually don't see that.
You do. If the palm tree's alive, you do see it. The sword's sticking at the top.
But it's usually that enough spread out,
no,
it covers most
Florida,
of it.
I wouldn't know.
All right.
You always see it,
he says. I don't know, I'm not convinced, but you always see it.
It kills the palm tree.
What?
It kills the palm tree if you take that thing off.
What do you mean kills the palm tree?
It kills the palm tree. It's like necessary for the palm tree. I'm not joking.
Okay, so we have homicide in the palm tree so far. Okay, whatever it is. Okay. But the palm trees grow where there are, I think, four. The correct four at a time that grow out of the top, and they spread out, and eventually they dry out, and then the little leaves at the end fall off or dry out or whatever, and all you're left with is a little bit of a horn that is really the bottom of the lulav. That's the way it grows. So if you can picture it, I don't have my marker here with me right now, but the center of the palm, it grows up. There are like, I think four of them. They grow up at the same time. They grow up like this, and they start to spread each one. They spread from each other, and each one spreads its leaves until you have these four branches and its leaves spreading out. Another one grows out from in between them,
And as they grow, it widens and it continues to grow higher and higher and higher. So when you want to get a lulav, you're going to have to break it off. I don't think it killed the tree. But you have to break them off, and you want to get them before they're dried out. And as we'll see, you want to get them before they're spread out and all of those things. So a lulav is some kind of palm. It's not a leaf, because the leaf is the individual leaf. So it's a palm frond, they call it. But no one ever uses that word, so whatever. But it's a lulav. If it is gazul, what is gazul? Is that a, what's the difference between geneva and gzela? Is that significant over here? Okay, a ganav is a person that steals surreptitiously. Albert, what does surreptitiously mean?
It's like sneakily.
Sneakily. So that a ganav and a gazlan is a person that steals, you know, with a gun to your head by force. You're not sneaking, you know? So that's where that issue comes up with one's more afraid of man and, you know, than God and all those things. But in any case, I don't know that that's significant for our purposes. For our purposes, it means that there is a stolen lulav or one that is yavesh. Yavesh means?
Dry.
Is pusel. Pusel means it's no good, or meaning if you did it, it's okay.
Can't use it. It's,
but if you did, it's still okay?
No.
No.
Remember,
there are certain languages, there are 2 points. One point is, there are certain languages Chazal used for lichat chila and bidi eved. Yeah? That you're not allowed to do it, but if you did, you're still yotze. How would you, if the Mishnah meant that, how would it have said it?
It would.
If, let's say, let's imagine for a minute, that if it was dried out, whatever, you know, you're not supposed to use it. But if you did, you're still yotze. How would you say that if it was only lichat chila? You're not supposed to, but if you did, it's okay. You can come up with a way that you'd phrase that. This is, sounds like it's b'di'evit, because it says, if it's like this, pasul. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. No good. Now, the other point I want you to think about is that pasul references the action or the object?
The object.
The object. So if you're referring to the object, it's kosher or it's pasul. But if you want to say that if you did it, you are still yotze, you're not talking about the object anymore. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
The action. So how do you describe an action? Is an action kosher or pasul? Never. It's usser or mutter. So you would, if you wanted to say, you're not allowed to do it, but if you did, you are yotze, you don't address the object, the cheftza, you address the action. So how would you have said? You would have said something like, hanotel lulav hayavesh kasher. If one takes a lulav that's dry, no, he's yotze. Something like that. So this clearly means it's no good, bidi evan. The object, the chavtza, is pasul, both if it's stolen and if it is dried out. Shel asherah. What's an asherah? It's a tree that's worshipped for avodah zarah. It's a fascinating topic. This is, you know, this doesn't really come up anymore, Josh. But people used to bow down to trees and they would carve things into the trees. Halacha l'maaseh, if you have a tree in your yard, I don't know if this is really halacha l'maaseh, but if you have a tree in your yard, some avodah zarah nick comes over and carves his fill-in-the-blank idol into your tree. Does it become an Asherah tree?
Yeah?
Yeah? What do you think?
That's the way
it works. And he worships, he bows down to it.
That's the way.
You cannot asser something that doesn't belong to you.
So,
it's my tree, and you come to my yard. Even if you carve it into my tree, that's my tree. You can't asser my tree. What do you mean? But a tree that's planted, so how can you ever asser a tree? How does a tree ever belong to a person? What's his property, maybe? Yeah.
If he grew the tree.
You could sometimes affect. Okay, it's true. We gotta investigate the principle better. You're right. That's a good one. That's a good one. But you can't ask for something that belongs to somebody else. That's the general principle. Certainly by avodah zarah, that's for sure. But you can't just go ahead and bow down to something. When? Probably because of mechubad lekarka. Anyway, bottom line is that when it comes to an asherah tree, you should just know that an asherah tree is usher because a person planted it to be an Asherah tree.
They planted it for the purpose of worshiping.
Yeah. Otherwise, not only do you have the problem of it belongs to somebody else, but additionally, you have the problem that it's karka. and ground can't become a cheftza of a, can't become an object of avodah zarah. Can you imagine a person that worships earth and then what, can't walk on it anymore? What does that mean? Anyway, so an asher tree has to be planted with the purpose of being a asher. It's not so easy to become an asher tree. Okay, but in any case, if there is a lulav that you broke off of an asherah tree, it is pasul. V'shel ir hanidachas. V'shel ir hanidachas. A city that most of its inhabitants worshipped avodah zarah, and now we destroyed the whole city. Yeah? Also pasul. Those two things are grouped in one. Nektam rosha, what's that? Right, if the guy has a severed head, probably he won't be able to fulfill a mitzvah. No, the lulav is, its top is cut off. Nifritzu alav, pasul. What's nifritzu? Who remembers? Nifritzu? Detached. The leaves are detached. That's pasul. Nifridu alav, if they're just spread out. So that's what we're describing. As it grows, eventually it's going to start to spread out. Once it's spreading out, it is kasher. Does that mean you're supposed to use it? It's l'chachila? That's a problem. Here's, you want to, in terms of learning a Mishnah, when a Mishnah says something is kosher, so it sounds like it's a b'dieved. It's kosher. What am I supposed to? I don't know, but it's kosher. It sounds like it's b'dieved. The problem is, you have to also learn context. If the purpose of the Mishnah is to list everything that's pasul, and then says, but this is kosher, it is possible that that's a kasher that's lechatchila. If the only piece of information the Mishnah gives you is that such and such a thing is kosher, sounds like it's only kosher b'dieved. But if the Mishnah is only contrasting it with pasul, so it could be it really is kosher lechatchila. It's just that I'm contrasting it with the pasul. Does that make sense? But you know what I'm talking about? If the Mishnah's agenda is to tell you, listen, you're Yotze if you did it. It's kosher. Sounds like you're not supposed to do it. But if you did, it's okay. It's kosher. So that's a diuk that we would make in a Mishnah. Here's the but. But when the Mishnah is listing things that are pasul, and then it says, but this isn't, this is kosher, then it could be it's kosher lechachila. Because the only reason it's saying kosher is because it's contrasting it with pasul. Does that make sense? Do you hear what I'm trying to say? No. So you'll ponder it. You'll think about it. We can talk about it another time when it's more relevant. But the point is, when you're learning a Mishnah, you always want to know if something is kosher b'dieved or lecharchila. It's very important to know. Because you want to know if you're allowed to use it. Or if it's only like whatever, you don't have another one. So you're going to try to prove it from the language that the Mishnah uses. Just beware. In order to prove it, it can't be that the Mishnah is saying it just because it's contrasting it with something else. Because once it's an issue of contrast, then it could be it's only saying it because, well, it's just mirroring, it's contrasting it with the other thing. And then you don't have a proof anymore.
Which one is like...
Usually when you're addressing the object, and you say pasul, so it means it's pasul, there's nothing to talk about. And if the Mishnah is not talking about things that are pasul, it just tells you something's kosher, sounds like it's kosher, but only b'dieved.
What does
it
mean?
Really, technically, it means if you already did it, you're Yotze. But you're not allowed to do it.
Right, okay.
If you did it,
mean
you're allowed to. It's good. Do it that way. Beautiful. Okay, perfect. No problems. Okay. Anyway, so the Mishnah here says if the leaves are separated from the spine of this lulav, it is pasul. If it's only spread out, it's kasher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Yogdenu milamala. What does he say? We just said it's kosher. What? Did I miss something? What do you mean tied at the top? What's he trying to say?
The top with the
because it's spread out?
Well, it may be too spread, so you need to close together.
That's where I'm headed. Okay, hold on 1 second.
Tighten the leaves together. So
wow. I mean, he's addressing spread out, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so the first opinion of the Mishnah said it's kosher. He comes along and says it's also kosher, right? You're saying the same thing?
Yeah.
Does it make sense? Not gonna say, he's not saying the same thing.
Kosher, but you should.
Yeah, he's just saying you should make it more beautiful.
But you should tie it.
And the first opinion just forgot
just
about that?
No.
First opinion just says it's kosher. But does it really say first opinion?
He's not saying it's not.
According to the first opinion, are you allowed to just tie it?
Doesn't mention it.
First opinion doesn't mention
anything. It just says it's kosher the way it is.
It just says it's kosher.
If it's already kosher the way it is, there should be no reason why you can't tie it.
Right.
Only when Rabbi Yehuda comes in then.
You know, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't even say it. Ooh.
I hope it's not a guess. No, not a guess. Shalom Aleichem, come on in.
He needs to leave 12:20 though.
Yeah.
For today.
All right, whatever.
Is this
Shalom Aleichem. All right, we'll have to make judgment. But there are plenty of desks also, whatever works. Yeah, no, we were talking about the contrast. We're in Chavtas Amid Beis, the Mishnah Lulav HaGazal.
Does it really say two opinions, though? I interpreted that it just says that, okay, Nifridu Alav Tosher, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Abdu Malam, that he's basically saying that, okay, that if the leaves are like spread out but they're still attached, it's kosher. And Rabbi Yehuda says that you should tie them up.
I'm saying, why does he need to add that? That's what I want to know. Like, what's his point?
But isn't it saying bugger?
He's not saying it's not kosher. He's just saying
correct. Of course he's saying it's not.
But you should.
But the first opinion held you don't have to?
No. Yeah. But he must also
do it should?
I thought it was just attached, though. I thought it's
first opinion said it was kosher no matter what. It just said it's kosher. No,
yeah.
He must hold something else.
No, he's probably saying that, right, the lula, right, is attached on the bottom, but maybe on the top is where it's spread out.
It's spread out, for sure.
So
that's how it spreads out. It sounds to me like Rabbi Yehuda is saying, if you don't bind it, what? You got a problem.
Yeah.
You have to. And the first opinion?
It's fine.
Sounds like you don't have to. Right? That's what it sounds like. Fair? Okay, that's all. Just how to read the Mishnah. What's going on over here? Okay. Sinei Har HaBarzel Ksheros. There's some kind of lulav that grows on Har HaBarzel. I don't know what Har HaBarzel is, the name of a specific mountain or something
iron
like that.
Mountain.
What? Yeah, obviously it wasn't made out of iron. Maybe they mined iron. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's called Har HaBarzel. And apparently at the time of the Mishnah, people knew which mountain that was, and they knew what those types of lulavim were like. So whatever that means, those types are kasher. Again, maybe only b'di'evit. But technically they're kasher. Lulav sheyesh bo shlosha tfachim kidei lenaneya bo kosher. What does that mean? A lulav that has three tfachim. How much is a tefach, approximately? About the size of a person's fist. Yeah? So it has to be three of those. That's kosher kidei lenaneya bo. What's that mean?
Enjoyment.
No, it's lenaneya.
No, to shake.
To shake. Right? There, that way there's enough to shake it, then it's kosher. Sounds like the three tfachim are because what? You have to be able to
shake
it. Yeah? Fine. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. Before we take a look at this Rashi and this Tosfos, let's just see one little point in the Gemara. The Gemara has a question. Do you know what the question is, the Gemara? Yeah, so what does it say? Ka pasik vitani. What's ka pasik? What's psa? What's pasik? Psa?
Right.
Hefsek, right? Yeah. It stops. Hakapasik, it stops. Vitani, and it teaches. What? Doesn't finish the sentence anymore. And then it says, Lo shna b'yantav rishon, v'lo shna b'yantav sheni. Who knows what lo shna means? It doesn't differ. It doesn't make a difference, right? Okay, so let's try it. That's what the words literally mean. Kapasik vitani. It stops and it teaches. It doesn't matter if it's yantav rishon. Doesn't matter if it's yantav sheni. So that's a very confusing line in a Gemara. Because now you have to work and figure out what did the Gemara mean. So do you want to make a suggestion before we go on? What's called pasik vitani? Like, what's the question of the Gemara?
A lulav that was stolen and dried.
Yeah. Ka pasik vitani. It stops and it teaches.
It
stops and teaches what?
The first day.
That's lo shna. It doesn't matter. But what is the kapasik vitani?
What is
kapasik vitani? Well, I'm trying to figure that out. Literally, it means it stops and teaches. The kapasik vitani. It stops and it teaches. Stops and teaches what?
No, but I'm saying what was said before exactly.
In the Mishnah?
Yeah, they say that.
Well, the Mishnah, whenever you read a Gemara, you can always assume that it's addressing the first part of the Mishnah. So the first part of the Mishnah is lulav hagazul v'hayavesh pasul. A lulav that is stolen or dried out is pasul. So Gemara says kapasik v'tani. It just stops and teaches, and it doesn't matter if it's yom tov rishon or yom tov sheni.
So then that would be it, right there.
That these things are pasul. without any caveats, without any details, without any other, that's it. These things are pasul. I don't care if it's Yantav Rishon, I don't care if it's Yantav Sheni, I don't care what day of Sukkis it is, Kapasa Vitani, it's telling me that these things are pasul. Good? So what's the problem? So, I mean, does that bother anybody? Does that bother you? It doesn't bother me. Joseph, it doesn't bother you, right? Why should it bother anybody? Zach? No, definitely not. What's the problem? I don't know, what's the problem? And if it wasn't Yom Tov Sheni? So the Gemara spells it out. The Gemara says, Bishlama, how do you translate that? All's good, I'm at peace with. Comes to the word like Shalem or Shalom, right? Bishlama, I'm at peace, I'm okay with Yavish. If you tell me that it's dried out and it's pusle the whole Sukkis lung, I'm okay with that. What, why are you so okay? Are you okay with that? Why is a lulav that's dried out pusle? Who says it has to be hadar?
All right.
So for some reason the Gemara is okay with that, and it says hadar ba'inan veleka. It has to be hadar. How do you translate hadar? Okay, where does that word come from? How do you know lulav has to be hadar? Which means lulav, right? A lulav is a beautiful fruit. When's the last time you ate a lulav? It hurts the back of your throat when you bite it. You these sword swallowers. So it's not, that's what refers to Estroke. So what does that have to do with Alula? Same Pasuk. So there's some kind of connection. Yeah, what does it say? How does the Pasuk go? Anybody know the whole Pasuk? V'lakachtem lachem b'yom ha-rishon. Take for yourselves on the first day. Which one comes first? Pri-et-Adar comes first? Pri-et-Adar, the fruit of a beautiful tree. Esrik, okay. Cup of Tamarin. Palm fronds. So what does that have to do with Lula? What does Pri-et-Adar have to do with a Lula?
Because they're all in kind of one.
Because it's
one thing.
But it's a Pri-et-Adar. It's the fruit of a beautiful tree.
But they're all in the same poster.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Okay. You know, one time there was a group that was taking a tour of Yerushalayim. I don't think they were Jewish. And the guy that was giving the tour, he didn't want to take them in Harabayas because, you know, he doesn't go in Harabayas. So he went to that like area that you can like see high up and see down onto Harabayas, and so they could see. So they said, oh, well, that's where the temple used to be. Wow, so are we going to go there? So he said, no, we're not going to go there. So he said, why can't we go there? So because we don't have the red cow. And they said, oh. Apparently that was a good answer. So, same thing over here. It's all in the same puzzle. Creates, oh there, you have the fruit of a beautiful tree, and lulav comes next. So, also has to be beautiful too. Right. So we're going to have to work that out. But you're right, that's what the Gemara says. Bishlama yavesh, hadar ba'inan veleka. However we work that out, the Gemara is assuming that everyone's okay with that, that the lulav also has to be hadar, has to be beautiful, and apparently a dried lulav is not beautiful. Beautiful is not totally in the eyes of the beholder. Okay? Elagazel, but if it's stolen, then I got a problem with it because the first day it says has to be yours, not the rest of the time. Okay, we'll get to that. So now let's backtrack. So we saw in the Gemara that there is a problem of lulav. Mishnah. The Mishnah says a lulav that's yavesh is no good. Why? So the Gemara explained it for us, right? Why am I doing this to you before we see Rashi? But you see what happened here. Without reading Rashi in the Mishnah, which we're going to do in a second, when you read the Gemara, it comes out that the reason why a dried out lulav is pasul is because it's not hadar, and it has to be hadar. Are we good? Does anyone want to argue with that? Last chance. Okay, so go back to Rashi on the Mishnah. Rashi says, Lulav HaGazol, he describes Lulav, and he says, by the way, we're going to learn about all of the Arba Minim as we go, so just be patient. Gazol, Pasul, V'lekachtem Lachem Ksiv Mishalachem. Okay, Rashi's already leading us into the question of the Gemara. Rashi says, the problem of a stolen Lulav is that it has to be yours. And the Gemara is going to ask, but only has to be yours on the first day. Because the Pasuk says, Ulakachtem lachem b'yom ha
Rishon. The first day it has to be yours, but after that it doesn't. So, okay, we'll leave that alone. Here's what we're going to focus on. So get ready. Rashi says, Yavesh. Does anyone want to read it? Who's brave? Benji, read it. What does it say?
Can I translate?
Do your best. Yavesh.
Yavesh. So what do you say?
Four lines down. See it? Dibba.
No, I know. Translate.
Okay, so just read it for now.
Dibba inon mitzvah mitzvah.
Okay, so let's try to translate. Dibba inon. Dalet is shin in Aramaic, right? Dalet is shin. She ba inon. Ba I is needs. She ba I nun. What's nun?
So the mitzvah needs. To
wait, what's nun? What's nun? What's the nun at the end? What does that mean?
Nun.
We.
Plural.
That's Aramaic. That's we in Aramaic. Di ba I nun. She ba I nun. That we need. She ba in. Di ba I nun. That we need mitzvah. A mitzvah. Mehu deres. What's the shorish mehu deres? Beautiful. Beautiful. How do you know that? Hey, so we would have said after we read the Gemara, what did you guys all tell me? Because it says pre-eitz hadar. And this is the next thing in the pus. What does Rashi say? Yeah. Tivsiv. Ve'anveyu. I thought that was amazing. We're learning this Mishnah. This is week's parsha. This week's parsha, B'shalach, L'shira, Zek Keli V'Anveyu. When B'nai Yisrael, after they cross the Yam Suf, they sing Shira and they say, this is my God, and I will unveil, which has a lot of different explanations what it means. One of the things that it means is I will glorify him, I will beautify him. Now, you don't beautify a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's very beautiful on his own, but we beautify mitzvahs of him. His mitzvahs we beautify. So there is a mitzvah, that we usually call it what? Hidur mitzvah. Yeah, you've heard of this before, right? Hidur mitzvah. We try to make mitzvahs beautiful. Zekelion Vanaveyu is the source for that, says Rashi. Does this have anything to do with lulav specifically? No. This is a rule in Kolatarakula. Dibainan mitzvah mehuderas. We always have to have beautiful mitzvahs. How do you know? Says Rashi, because it says Zekelion Vanaveyu, because he's supposed to beautify mitzvahs. Good? Everyone okay with that, Rashi? Do you think that Rashi works in the Gemara or doesn't work in the Gemara? What did the Gemara say about lulav? Bish lama yavesh hadar ba'inan veleka. Does that fit or not? In the Gemara. The Gemara said, kapasigatani, right? The Gemara says, I got a problem with stolen. But we're not dealing with that yet. All we're zeroing in on is what the Gemara says it was okay with. The Gemara says, I'm okay by saying lulav, that's yavesh, dried out, is pasul. I'm okay with that. All the days of Sukkot. Why? Because what did the Gemara say? Come on. Well, it didn't really say that, right? What did it say?
In the Gemara.
It
just said it needs to be beautiful and fun.
Bishlama yavesh hadar ba'inan veleka. It has to be beautiful, and it's not. So you tell me, is Rashi against the Gemara, or Rashi fits?
I don't think he adds anything. He's against everything.
He adds the source.
He's against. He just puts the source in there.
What do you say?
I don't have an answer. I'm curious. Is the lulav itself beautiful on its own?
Beauty's in the eyes of the beholder, right? What do you mean? None of when Ezra is described, the tree is described as the fruit of a beautiful tree. And
so
other explanations.
Why do you add things to the lulav in order to make it beautiful?
Okay, good. Is yavesh, if it's dried out, is it adding? See, so many Davids in here, this is crazy. What can you do? But now, what David's pointing out is something that we need to think about. When we speak about making mitzvahs beautiful, give me an example.
The biggest
esrog
you can find.
The biggest esrog, that's beautiful. That's what this one David says that. What does some other David say?
The yellow is.
Give me an example of making a mitzvah beautiful. Have you ever...
Hey, it's not
beautiful. What?
Hey.
That's how I make myself beautiful. So but mitzvahs.
Concentrating on the bracha.
Maybe concentrating on the bracha, maybe. spending more money to make the object more beautiful. In what way? Give me an example how you make it more beautiful by spending money.
When you say Shabbos, like buying food for Shabbos to beautify Shabbos itself, to uplift it.
By like having beautiful things, maybe.
Nice clothes.
Nice clothes for Shabbos. Nice clothes for you. No? Okay. So, in general, I would say that when you find this chazal, Zekei Levi Anveri, you can take a look at where this chazal appears. You'll find that it has to be a beautiful Sefer Torah. That it has to look beautiful. Nice writing, a nice cloth. When you have a mitzvah, the mitzvah is to have a Sefer Torah, right? Does it have to be gorgeous? No. So you make it beautiful. A lulav is a lulav is a lulav, right? You don't make it. It is what it is. You could pick some that are nicer, some that are less. But I have a different idea. Let's say you get your lulav, and you know how you get the holders? And they have all these different kinds of holders nowadays, yeah? Let's get like a silver, gold, diamond studded one. Would that be Hidur Mitzvah? Why not? Hidur Mitzvah. Is this the same type of Hidur Mitzvah that we're describing now with the lulav? If it's dried out, it's not beautiful. Wait a minute. There's a Hidur Mitzvah that I do, that I do to the mitzvah.
What you said again, there's a difference between action and the object.
Okay, that's one way to look at it. There's action, you're meaning what I do to it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the object.
Yeah, does everybody hear that? Sweet, did you hear that? That there's beauty inherent to the object, which is what David is saying, right? There's beauty that's inherent to the object, and then there's beauty that I do something to it. Are you with me on this? Is this obvious? Is this, you're not sure what I'm saying, or?
Aside from that, meaning, let's say the lulav is dried out itself, yeah. But you're adding things to the lulav that you're not focusing so much on.
That's another way to look at it, right? Is that you could have a lulav maybe that in and of itself is not beautiful because it's all dried out. And
whatever you put on it and make of it makes it beautiful.
Right. So what about that? Does that rescue it? Does it save the day? Kapasik Vitani is bustle. It doesn't say. Remember, later on the Mishnah said, if it starts to spread out, tie it. It doesn't say if it's dried out, put gold rings on it. Okay, we're going to come back to this thought. That's a great thought. Okay, so Rashi writes that the problem of Yavesh is that it's not a fulfillment of Zek Keliva Anveil. Okay, you ready? You ready? Can you pay attention for a couple more minutes? I know we want to move on to halacha, but can we just wrap this up? You ready? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. The big question, problem, whatever you want to call it, with this Rashi, is that the Mishnah says, and this is how we started off, if your lulav is yavesh, it's pasul, right? L'chachila b'di yaved. Only l'chachila, but you could use it. Or b'di yaved, pasul. Bidi Eved, Pasul. Do you have a Sefer Torah? It's not the most beautiful Sefer Torah you ever saw in your life. Is it kosher or Pasul? It's kosher, right? Because Zek Keliv Anaveyu, beautifying mitzvahs, is nice, but it's the icing on the cake. How can Rashi say, if it's not beautiful, it's Pasul? If the reason why it has to be beautiful is Zek Keliv Anaveyu. Is that not a very strong question, I imagine? Well, you'll say, well, I don't know what the other option is. Is there another way to look at it?
Yeah.
What's the other?
I mean the other.
What other source? What do you mean? Oh. There's another way to look at it.
Is Rashi saying it's Bidi Evet, or is he just saying it's Pasul?
Well, all I can tell you is that the Mishnah said if it's dried out, it's Pasul. Rashi says, why? And Rashi seems to say, because it's not a fulfillment of Zekei Levi Anveil. That is so hard to understand that we're ready to rip the Rashi out of the Gemara. What do you mean? What does Tosfos say? Did you see it? What does Tosfos say? Just go through it very quickly.
Yeah.
Tosfos writes, Mefarish b'Gemara. Now, I had a Rebbe that said, every single midah that exists in the world is neutral. Yeah? Hashem gave us abilities to be used for good or bad. So we all can appreciate this. So we all have all kinds of talents and abilities and midos. You could use it good, you could use it bad. What about kfira? Kfira means like denying Hashem's existence, you know? Denial. How could that be a positive trait?
Is that a mido?
Yeah, we have a capacity to deny things that people say. And he said, you're supposed to be a kaifer in Tosfos. Never believe what Tosfos tells you. Don't trust them. Look it up. Why? Why am I saying this? Okay, so you ready? This is great. The Gemara said, I understand that a lulav has to be yavesh for all 7 days of Sukkot, because it has to be hadar. And it didn't say why or how you know that or what that means. But the shir, you guys, I think it was Yehuda maybe first said it, was that that's because the pasuk, or maybe someone said it, the pasuk says it has to be hadar. And we worked to, it wasn't so simple because the esrik has to be hadar. Oh, but the next thing is lulav that also has to connect. We had to work that out, right? Rashi doesn't say that, right? Rashi says that when the Gemara says it has to be beautiful, it means zeki livani. Right? Right?
Yeah.
Does the Gemara actually say it means pre-Eitz Hadar? Are you with me on the question? When the Gemara said, I get it, a lulav can't be dry because it has to be beautiful, did it explain what that means?
No.
If it means Zekei Livan Veyo or if it means something else? The Gemara never spelled it out. So I read Rashi as saying that's what the Gemara meant. The Gemara meant Zekei Livan Veyo. Are you with me on that? No, I mean, that's why it's puzzle. We have a question on Rashi. We don't understand how you could say that, because it just still be kosher with the Evan. That's our question on Rashi. But that's how Rashi read the Gemara. What do you want from me? I got to explain Rashi. I got a problem. I'll have to deal with my problems. Everyone's got problems. But we'll have to deal. We'll go to a therapist. But whatever it is, that's what Rashi says. And Rashi can say that because the Gemara never said what it meant. Do you hear what I just said? The Gemara never explained what it meant. By lulav has to be beautiful. Why does it have to be beautiful? Gemara didn't say. We thought it meant, because Yehuda said so. We thought it meant, because the pasuk says esrog has to be beautiful, and lulav comes next, so everything has to be beautiful. We made that up. Gemara doesn't actually say that, right? Are you with me? Which opens up the door for Rashi to give a different explanation of why it has to be beautiful. David, you ready? You with me? So, Tosfos says something, and I want you to tell me if you believe him. Listen to what... Well, read it. You have Tosfos in front of you? See what Tosfos writes? Lulav yavesh pasul. Umefaresh v'gemara. The Gemara explains why. Mishum. What's Mishum?
Because
the iskish lulav le'esrig. Because lulav is connected to Esrig. Dichsiv bei Hadar. And it's written about Esrig, Hadar. It has to be beautiful. What does Tosfos mean, Mefaresh b'Gemara? Our Gemara explained that?
Yeah.
Where?
Because it says if it's dry, it's possible.
Right. Because it's not,
Hadar. Yeah,
it's not Hadar. So that's how Tosfos read the Gemara. Is that what the Gemara really says? Well, not exactly, right?
You just assume dry means it's
not exactly.
It fits more than Rashi, though.
It fits more than Rashi. Now, I will have you know that it's possible Tosfos is referring to Gemara and Lamed Aleph from Lamed Aleph. Because in our Gemara, the Gemara did not spell it out.
You can infer.
Okay. But it's not what the... Right, mefaresh b'gemara. You hear the word he used? What does mefaresh mean?
Explain.
That's not true. It's just not true. You know what I said about not trusting Tosfos?
It is explained, but it's...
Not in our Gemara.
Not like spelled out.
You could say mashma. It's mashma from the Gemara. The implication, but it is not mefaresh b'gemara. Unless Tosfos means a different Gemara. And I'll leave it up to you. When you get a chance, maybe look up Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, you can tell me maybe he was referring to Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. Okay. But Then you see what Tosfos writes? The low kamoshi pirusha kuntres, not like Rashi said. Mishum tefsev zekei livanveyu. De'ein v'anveyu ella lichat chila. On the mitzvah of beautifying mitzvahs is only lichat chila. V'lo mitzvah b'hachi, it doesn't become puzzle because of this. Kidim muchach, perakamo, dami rabbanan, lulav, mitzvah la'ogdo. Because like we saw elsewhere, there is a mitzvah to bind all four species together. But mitzvah means you're supposed to. But if you didn't, no, you're still yotze. So that's, that kasha that we had on Rashi actually leads Tosfos to conclude that it's certainly not the pshat in our Gemara. So to start to wrap this all up, isn't this like a bomb kasha on Rashi? This is a very strong kasha on Rashi, no? Because the Mishnah says it's possible with the oven. You know what just happened?
I'm saying, what just happened? Tosfos just like completely changed his mind?
Tosfos says what Yehuda said originally. Tosfos says, obviously, the pshat in the Gemara is that hadar means that lulav is connected to esrig. And it has to be beautiful, just like the pasuk says about esrig. It's hadar. Has to all be beautiful.
You just said it's only
lechatchila. Zekei livanvei is only lechatchila. But if it's a pre-eitz hadar, if there's a halacha, it has to be hadar, and this isn't hadar, then it's then it's not it. It's just not it. But Tosfos says, but Rashi obviously is wrong, based on the question that we had on Rashi. Same exact question that we had on Rashi. Rashi can't be right, because beautifying mitzvahs is lechatchila, it's not b'diavad. How does Tosfos know? Benji, how does Tosfos know that zeh keli va'anaveyu is only lechatchila? That b'diavad, you're still yotze. How does he know? It's a proof. What's his proof?
What's the source of
it? He proves it from the eged. To beautify. We're translating anyway, just to beautify. But last Zman, we learned in Yud Aleph Amud Beis that there's a mitzvah to bind it together, to bind all four species together. There's a mitzvah to do it. Why? It's more beautiful that way. Zekei Levan Rei. But Tosfos says, but if you didn't do it, you're yotze. So that's his proof. That Zekei Levan Veyu, you're supposed to do it. It's the best way to do it. If you didn't,
you still yotze.
Okay, do you want to go back to your point?
No, I'm saying each thing within itself is beautiful. So with just each thing, you could...
He's talking about something external. Something external, binding them all together...
will make them as a greater...
Yeah. Which leads us back to what you said, and that's what we're going to wrap it up. Good. So we're going to come back to what you said. The kasha is on Rashi now. Yeah? Are we all feeling the kasha on Rashi? Mm-hmm. A little bit?
Yeah.
Okay. So... Rashi doesn't explain himself, and we need to look elsewhere to understand it, and there are different approaches to explain this. I just want to say one point, explain it based on what David had said. There are those that want to make the following suggestion. There are two types of beautifying mitzvahs. Rashi, we're going to assume, does not learn like Tosfos. It's not because of Hagar. It's because of Zekei Levan Veyu, there's a mitzvah to have beautiful mitzvahs. Maybe. Rashi learns there's two types of beautifying mitzvahs. There's the inherent beauty to a mitzvah, and then the external beauty that we add to the mitzvah. It is clear from Tosfos' proof, from the eged, from the binding, that an external beauty we add to the mitzvah, if you don't have it, it's still kosher, you're still yotzei. But whenever there is an internal beauty of some sort that's required, maybe that type of beauty is
necessary.
Nothing to talk about. So that really goes back to what you were saying. So maybe the inherent beauty can't be saved by golden rings. Can't be rescued by doing something beautiful to it externally. Because that's a nice thing to do, but if you don't have it, you don't have it. But an internal beauty, like if it's dried out, doesn't have its internal beauty, it's essential to the object. And then that, whatever's essential to the object, you can't do without. Yeah, like you can make it more beautiful, you can have a more beautiful writing, you can have a
beautiful
box.
Beautiful, but if the word is wrong or something.
Right, the letter's missing, right. I don't know, it's a good example, but yeah. Same type of idea. Okay, so perhaps that is at least one suggestion to be made in Rashi. Let's just finish reading and then we're gonna stop. So the Gemara itself said, Bishlama Yavesh Hadar Ba'inan Veleka. So three lines up from the bottom. Ela Guzul. But if it's stolen, Bishlama Yamtif Rishon. I'm okay with Yamtif Rishon it being a problem. Dichsiv, because it says in the pasuk Lachem. That's a quote. Lachem. End quote. Mishel Lachem. That's an explanation of the Gemara. It has to be yours. Ela Biyamtif Sheni. Amai Lo. But on Yom Tov Sheni, why not? Why is it no good? Right, so we're going to stop there in the Gemara for today. We'll learn a little bit of halacha in a couple of minutes. But that's where we're at today.